It's time now for the Pulpit Hour, featuring some of God's choice preachers. Stay tuned at the end of today's message for information on how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This morning we realize it's Christmas Day. We realize that Jesus Christ is God's great gift. And that's what today we want to concentrate on, God's great gift. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God, for the very fact that Jesus was willing to leave the splendor of glory and come to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. Lord, I pray today, God, you'd help us to present this message, God, with Holy Ghost power. We ask today you just inspire us and use us, Father, for your glory. For we ask these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The Bible says in verse number 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I'm certainly thankful that Jesus Christ was born. And I got to thinking about babies that are born and just exactly all the weakness that a baby would show. I was looking last night at my brother and his wife. The little baby's about 3 months old, and they had to hold it to feed it. They had to stand it up to burp it. And we've got Manny and Megan here today. I'm going to let them stand with their baby this morning. And I want you kind of spin him around there, let everybody see just how little he is this morning. Look at him there. He can't do a whole lot for himself. He was here after just a few days old a couple of weeks ago. Thank y'all very much. And he was here a couple of weeks ago. And I began to think about him and my brother's baby and how that he can't really do anything for himself. His mom and daddy's got they've got to feed him. They've got to clothe him. They've got to bathe him. He's completely helpless. He's even got to be burped by them. And here we have Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, creator and holy is God. And he created all that is and all that ever will be, he created. And here he is, God, wrapped up in a baby skin, helpless. There in his mother's arms, there he is. And I begin to think about this child, how he's born. And, you know, the Lord knows my brother's baby and this little baby right here, Manny and Megan's baby, how things will turn out for them one day, what kind of life they'll have, where they'll work, whether they'll get saved or not. The Lord knows all that, does he not? Yet he'll give them a free will to choose, okay, whether they're going to be saved or not be saved. Jesus Christ was born to die. He was born to wear the crown of thorns on his head for me, God's curse on his head. He was born to drink of that bitter cup, God's wrath, God's fury. He was born to drink that because of my sin. He was born to carry my cross, amen, and bear my sins. Jesus was born for all these things, amen. Jesus certainly is God's gift
to this world. Do you see that? I want you to notice this morning then when we talk about gifts. First of all, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you think about that for just a moment this morning, my friend, that God gave. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. Realize that the Queen of Sheba, when she came and heard about Solomon, she brought with her about $6 million worth of gold. Imagine somebody giving you that for Christmas. That's a pretty good gift. That's a pretty great gift, you might say. And besides all that, she gave all kinds of livestock and all kinds of creatures and all kinds of apparel. All kinds of gifts she gave him. And yet when she came and heard about him, she said, "The half has never yet been told." And we realize that Solomon gave back to her probably more than she gave him, because he gave out of his splendor and his riches. Yet God's gift to this earth, Jesus Christ, is greater, my friend, than the Queen of Sheba or King Solomon in all his glory could have ever produced or have even thought to give. God gave the precious gift of His Son. I begin to think about Jesus Christ being God's great gift. Jesus is a prepared gift. Think about it. When God created all that is, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we realize that on the sixth day created the man. And after that He saw that it was not good that He was alone, and He created a helpmeet for Him. Her name was Eve. And we realize God told them, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. When Eve partook of that fruit and gave to her husband, and he partook of that fruit, sin, my friend, had been brought upon this earth, which bringeth forth death. That did not come as a surprise to God. It did not catch God off guard. He knew when he made the man, and He knew when He made the woman. He knew what they would do. In His foreknowledge, He knew they would sin. And He was prepared for their sin. He had already prepared His own Son to come this earth and die. And let me ask this question of you. When Abraham took his son Isaac upon the mountain, and Isaac said, "Dad, here's the knife and here's the wood, but where's the lamb?" He laid that boy down on the altar and he said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." Amen? That's what he said. And as he drew back the knife, ready to sacrifice his own son, coming up the entire time, the backside of that mountain was a lamb. Amen. And his horns there, his head, was caught there in the thicket. Before Abraham ever cried out, before little old Isaac even said, "Daddy, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" That lamb was already dispatched. God had already prepared it. He had already made it ready to be sacrificed. Jesus is the same way. He knew man would sin. He knew Adam and Eve would mess up. He knew you and I would sin. And Jesus was a prepared gift. God was not caught off guard. God is not surprised, amen. He had already prepared the way for Jesus to be born, to take our sins that you and I might be saved. Not only is Jesus a prepared gift, but He is a personal gift. Now, this morning you think about something. A lot of gifts that are given, people will look at them, try it on, and it won't fit. And you have to take it back and return it, or exchange it for another one that's just a little bit larger. You know that's the truth. But Jesus is a personal gift. My friend, He's tailor-made for everybody. I'm telling you, He'll fit your needs, amen. He'll fit your home. He'll fit your life. He'll fit your family, amen. You'll never outgrow Him. He'll never be too big for you, amen. He's tailor-made for you. He's tailor-made for the entire world. He died for the sins of the world, yet He died for you as an individual. Amen. He is a personal gift. Right. He is a personal Savior. Amen. No, He's a prepared gift and a personal gift, but He's a perfect gift. Right. He's a perfect gift. Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" There's a lot of gifts that are given that are flawed or defective. I was watching the news the other night. A lot of people went over to a restaurant in Asheville and bought gift certificates. You know, $25, $50 to a restaurant. And they was going to give them out for Christmas, but the restaurant then went and closed down. And they're all concerned whether they're going to be able to honor those gift certificates that was bought. Surely they knew that's probably going to be closing, but they went ahead and got their money and didn't tell anybody anyway. How convenient. You see, my friends, that's a defective gift, but Jesus is a perfect gift. I guarantee you'll never have to exchange Him, amen. If you ever get saved, amen, ever get His joy in your heart, you won't want to take Him back. You won't want something better. You won't want something different. You'll just want more of Him, amen. Hey, there's enough of Him to go around. Hey, man, hear me this morning. He's a perfect gift. He was perfect when He sat on the throne beside His Father and they created all that is. He was perfect, amen. He was perfect when He came to this earth, born of a virgin. He was perfect in His sinless life. He was perfect, my friend, as He hung on the cross and died there for my sins and your sins. He was still perfect. Amen. He was perfect when they put Him in the grave. He is perfect when He came out of the grave. Amen. He is perfect 40 days later when He ascended to the Father. He's perfect as He sits on the right hand of God right now, making intercession on our behalf, praying for us, knowing what it is we need, calling on His Father to help us. He's perfect in that, and He's going to be perfect in His return. He's going to be perfect in His rapture. He's not going to be messed up, amen. It's going to be just like He said. He is the perfect, perfect gift of God, amen. He's going to have a perfect rule one day. He's going to rule 1,000 years on this earth. Then the devil's going to be loose for a little season, and then God's going to wrap him up. And my friend, I'm going to tell you what, and throw away the key, the devil will be shut down, and Jesus will reign forever and ever and ever. He will have a perfect rule. He is, my friend, this morning, a perfect gift, a personal gift, and a prepared gift. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that'll ever be given. You may measure the size of a gift about how big it is or how much it costs, amen. But who and what can compare to Jesus? Nothing, amen. He's the greatest gift that'll ever be given. Number two this morning. Not only is Jesus the great gift, but God the Father is the great giver. Now, this morning it may be important to you who your gifts came from. That might be real important to you. They may have come from President Bush. You may have got a Christmas card from Congressman McHenry. And you may have said, well, Michael Jordan might have remembered you or sent you a Christmas card. And that might have pleased you. But I'm telling you, of all the men and women that's ever been born, my friend, you'll never receive a greater gift than the gift that God gave us in His precious Son. You'll never receive one from anyone greater than God, who's Creator God, who's Almighty God, and who is Holy God. And I want you to know this morning, now you hear me, I want you to know this morning that if you took Bill Gates and Sam Walton and Mr. John D. Rockefeller and you pooled all their resources together, them three boys wouldn't have enough money together to feed all the birds on God's green earth today. They'd run out of money by lunchtime. They'd be out of worms, they'd be out of bird seed by lunchtime. Say, I don't know, preacher. Listen, you know how many birds there are on this earth? They couldn't even feed the birds for one day, much less the fish, much less the cattle. Hey, the cattle are lowing outside, amen. They're out there eating the grass. They're chewing their cud, amen. I'm telling you, God's feeding them all. And think of this. As great as God is, as rich, how rich do you think He is? The richest of the rich. You can pull all the resources of all the men, women, boys, and girls that's ever been born, and they won't touch the hem of the garment of God Almighty. And yet, my friend, He thought enough of me to send me a gift. And not just any gift. No, no, no. He gave me the very best that heaven could afford. I'm telling you what, God Himself emptied Himself. Now there's a lot of people who give you a gift, and they'll give it out of their abundance, and they'll never even miss the money that they spent to buy you a gift. Can I get an amen? They won't give out of their need. They'll get out of their abundance, and they won't even miss what they've got you. But my friend, I'm telling you, God, my Father, gave the best heaven could afford. He emptied Himself of Himself and gave Himself that you and I might be set free. I'm telling you what, amen. And when He looked there, on His right hand, His Son was no longer seated there and was having to hang on a cross. And sin came, my friend, as He bore our sin upon Himself. God the Father had to look away. And there's a great separation between God the Father and God the Son. Hence, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'm telling you why. Because God the Father thought enough of you and thought enough of me to send us a precious gift, the gift of His Son. There'll never be a greater giver than God the Father. He has mercy on us each and every day. Bless His holy name. Not only do we see the great gift, which is Jesus, and secondly, we see the great giver, which is God. But thirdly, I want you to notice the great reason. Now, certainly Christmas is a time of giving. And I started writing this down. To me, giving is the expression of love. Don't you think so? I think so. Sometimes we may give out of compassion as we see a need somewhere. Sometimes you give just to say, "I love you." There are other times that you give just because others do. Say amen. You give out of obligation. Some people give out of selfishness, hoping that I'll give somebody some little gift so they'll give me thousands and thousands in return. And they give out of selfishness. Sometimes I believe this would be true. You may determine the value of the gift by what the motive was. It's not the size of the gift or the price. It may be what the motive was. I want to say this morning, God's reason for giving us the gift. What was His reason? Love. For God so loved the world. He said in verse 11 of Luke chapter 2, He said, "For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen? Unto you. Not just those shepherds. Not just Mary and Joseph. But every man, woman, boy, and girl, unto us has been born a Savior. Do you realize this morning the depravity, the darkness, the despair, the hopelessness of sin? You and I would have been forever separated from the love of God, from the salvation of God, my friend. We would have never known it till God gave His gift to have His Son bleed and die upon that cross, that we might be set free. Hey, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I studied about that. I thought, how could He call me His friend? I'd cussed, I'd lied, I'd done wrong, wrong, wrong. And He laid down His life for His friends. How could I have been a friend to Him? He was a friend to me. Even when I didn't want Him around, amen, He was still a friend to me and gave a precious gift. A gift I'm so thankful years ago that I saw fit to receive. I saw fit to, oh, glory to God, get saved by the mercy of God. Listen, what is His reason? His reason is He loved you. And He loved me, amen. Think about that. When we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. What about that? Why? John 3:17 says that the world through Him might be saved. Ain't you glad you're saved today? Ain't you glad Jesus was willing to leave the splendor of glory? Think about how rich that place would be. That city is not just paved with gold, but it's made of gold. I ain't never been on no city here made of gold. Oh no. But I'm going to one, amen. Not on this earth, amen. Now, when I go to see my Father, amen, we're going to be in a city of gold. Now, this morning I want you to know that not only did He have the reason of love, but I believe He had the reason of joy. The Bible says in verse 10, "Fear not." Hey, so many people afraid and worried and fretting. "Behold, I bring you good tidings." Boy, I like to hear something good, don't you? Not something juicy, not something gossipy, not something bad, not no dirty laundry. I want to hear good tidings, amen. He said not just good tidings, but good tidings of great joy. He said, "Which shall be to all people." I want to encourage you. You can have joy. I'm telling you what, I've been around so many people in my lifetime with a pooch lip. You know, you get around them, you don't want to hang around them. Just be honest. All the time down and out, complaining, murmuring, fretting, worried. Listen, you and I ought to have joy. God's reasons, not only for love's sake, but He wants us to have joy that we wouldn't be having to have this old despair and stuff anymore. Not only for joy's sake, but what about for peace's sake? Look what he said. He said, glory to God in the highest, verse 14, and on earth peace. Think about something this morning, on earth this morning. There's sorrow, there is grief, there is woe. There is all kinds of worry. Turn on your TV, look around, read the newspaper, read the magazine. Hey, there is more unrest today, 2005, than there has been at any time in the world's history. Yet my God knew about our unrest and sent His Son Jesus that you and I might have peace. The Bible says we can have peace with God. Who? How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad. I remember when conviction came. There was fear and trembling and knowledge that I was going to hell. I had no peace with God. But He provided a way through the gift of His Son that I might be saved, that I might be redeemed. Amen. And I am so glad that the night I got saved and I headed back to my seat, peace had come. I wasn't worried about going to hell no more. I wasn't fearful of these things. I wasn't under conviction about my sin. Why? Because God had forgiven me. Why? Because I received the gift of Jesus Christ. I might have peace. Do you have peace today? Oh, not as the world gives, but I mean as the Lord God Jesus Christ gives. Amen. He'll give you peace. Last of all, what about hope? You know, I was studying. Nowadays, you look around, there's war, rumors of war, bloodshed, terrorists, threats. It ain't safe to go nowhere. You can't get in a taxi cab without fearing it's going to blow up. You can't get in the bus without fear it's going to blow up. You worry about going to the mall, somebody's going to get a shotgun out and shoot you and kill you, amen. You worry about you sending your kids off to school, that some gunman's going to enter the school and begin to shoot innocent children. I'm telling you, today there's dread. There's all kinds of fear. There's all kinds of worry. But I want to say, my friend, if we have Jesus, we have hope. I'm telling you what, if you're saved today and you're a Christian, you've got hope in your heart, amen. Not a maybe so, but a sure thing, amen. A brighter day's coming, hallelujah, than the day in which we live in. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more death, amen. And there's hope for you and I in Jesus Christ. Why do we have this hope? Why do we have this peace? Why do we have this joy? Why do we have this love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hear me today. Without the great gift of Jesus, none of these things would be possible. I laid down to bed last night. My boy was sitting there beside me. I looked over at him. I said, son, it may have been a night similar to tonight. What tonight? Kind of raining outside. Could have been a little icy. I don't know. But there they were traveling. Maybe she was riding on a donkey. I just can't imagine how it was. But in my mind, I see them. And they come to town. And she's heavy with child. I think someone said this morning at Faith Burke this morning, maybe getting ready to deliver the baby this morning on Christmas Day. And she's not even able to be in church because she's getting ready to deliver a baby, it looks like. We need to pray for her. And I got to thinking about, here comes Mary. There's no hospital to take her in Bethlehem. There's nobody opening up their doors, their homes. They go to an inn. Maybe it was the Holiday Inn. Maybe it was the Days Inn. No, those things wasn't around back then. But you get the picture. And they knocked on the door, and it was late at night, and everything was shut down. Not anybody at the front desk. And he went beating on the manager's door. Said, listen, we just got to town. My wife's heavy with child. We need a room. He looked at Joseph. He didn't have nothing. He's a poor man. And all the other rooms was full anyhow. And he said, sir, I ain't got no room for you in this place. Somehow he directed him to get to a little manger, a little place where animals would be born, a little place where the cattle would be and the and the sheep would be. And they took them in that place. You wouldn't even consider it to be sanitary. I mean, they eat corn in there, and there Jesus, after he was born, and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, which is grave clothes. They didn't have anything else for him. The King of Kings, and didn't have anything else for him. And they laid him down probably in a cattle trough. And they sat there, and into the manger, walked a bunch of hillbilly shepherds. Their sheep probably right behind them. And they walk in, and they see this child. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt? Joseph standing there, knowing what a miracle he'd seen, that a virgin had conceived and a virgin had delivered a child. And there he stood, and in out of nowhere walks these shepherds. And they bow and begin to worship and adore this little child. I bet his eyes got that big around. How if he began to cry and weep, not understanding what was happening? Mary began to keep all these things and ponder them in her heart. What's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on here? I'm telling you what, y'all. I don't exactly know how all that happened. But I adore him. I worship him. I wonder that night if I'd have been too busy as a shepherd to went down there to see a little child. But I'm glad that they went down to worship him. I'm so thankful that you and I can still worship him today. He's no longer laying in that manger, but he's coming again, amen. It's been prophesied he's coming for years and years and years. And they looked for him and hoped for him. But they didn't think he'd be born in a manger. They didn't think he'd be wrapped in swaddling clothes. They didn't think he'd be laying in a cattle trough. They looked for a glorious king born with gold and power and might. But there he came humbly. I don't know what you think, how you're going to see him come again. One of these days the clouds are just going to open up. He's going to step out and say, children, come home. Amen. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved, 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 amen, and received the gift of God. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, I just want to take a little time just to get on my bended knee and say, Lord, thank you for your gift, for your life, for your death, for your resurrection, for seeing fit one night back yonder that the Holy Ghost came and ministered to me, convicted me, and brought me to Jesus. And I got saved. Won't you stand with me this morning? That's a message God's laid on my heart. What a great gift. You won't listen. I don't know what it is for Christmas that you've got today or yesterday or whenever you opened presents. Whatever it was, it made you smile and lit up your world. But you'll never receive a greater gift than what God's already given you, Jesus Christ. Think about them shepherds. They have nothing. And they came to worship him. What about you, friend? Look how God blessed you. Look how abundantly good he's been to you. Merciful, loving. Aren't you glad for the gift he gave you? Y'all come tell him. Lord, I just want to worship you today. Lord, thank you.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
That concludes our Pulpit Hour message for today. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, you can call our studios at 828-884-9427 or write to us at WGCR 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina 28768. You can also hear today's message on our website at wgcr.net. The Pulpit Hour is brought to you by Anchor Broadcasting.